The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
What we've been working on is the different lenses through which we can view reality. All right? We talked about how Hashem is reality. I have reality, you have reality, we exist within reality, but I'm not reality and you're not reality. So who is reality? So reality is who we call Hashem, the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, the Hey. And now the question is, how does reality, how does Hashem become manifest to us in our life, in our daily living, in our world? So we began to develop what's referred to in Kabbalah as the 10 Sefirot, the 10 divine qualities, okay? Spiritual qualities which are manifest in this world. And through these spiritual qualities, we encounter God every day, right here, right now, in the world we live in. And it's a very important point, because Judaism does not believe that to get close to Hashem, get close to God, you have to get out of this world. Okay? It is not a religion that is promoting transcendentalism to get away from this world, but rather Judaism believes that God comes and meets us in this world. And through this world, and in this world, we can actually meet Hashem. And it's through these 10 qualities, so to speak, that Hashem is adopted, through which that encounter happens. So yesterday we dealt with the first sefirah, the first quality that one must be aware of and live in accordance to in order to receive and encounter all the other qualities. All right, and that was the quality of Malchut. The quality of Malchut is the receptacle. It literally means kingdom. It's looking at the world and all the events in history as a kingdom. And what is a kingdom? An organization, a community, a system, a cooperative. And that we are all members of this community, this orchestra, whatever. But that's what kingdom, that's what malchut is all about. And without that sense of malchut, without that sense of community and organization and system and symmetry, we can't get to the next step. So as I mentioned, each class is, so to speak, adopting a new pair of glasses. And that my job is somewhat like an optometrist. That as you're sitting in that chair and he kind of flips in front of you different combinations of lenses until he gets the right combination which enables you to see all that is. That's exactly what the 10 sefirot, the 10 qualities are. 10, so to speak, lenses. When in the proper organization, the proper combination, it allows the light of Hashem to come into my life, so to speak, allows me to see in the clearest way I as a human being could see Hashem. And so the first lens that I need to adopt and begin to see the world through this lens is through the lens of Malchut, through the lens of seeing community, through the lens of seeing organization. And that there's order and there's organization. All right. Now we go to the next lens. The next lens is Yesod. Yesod literally means foundation. Foundation. Malchus means kingdom. And just above it, in this structure, according to the Kabbalah, this is metaphorically the structure of all these qualities and their interactions, so to speak, as we meet Hashem through these qualities. So the next quality that we need to understand, the next lens through which we need to see the world, begin to see qualities that we never saw before, or we're perhaps not so aware of, is the quality of Yesod, which means foundation. Now it's important to understand that the quality of Yesod is a quality that all the energy of all these other qualities in life pour into. And it gathers all of these energies together and then channels it into Malchut. Okay? So you and I who are members of Malchut, you and I who are members of the kingdom, how do we receive all this life energy, these divine qualities? Right? Only if we see ourselves as part of a total kingdom, a total organization. And then once we have that in place and the sense of kingdom is clear, and we live in accordance to it, then we become a vessel to receive all the blessings of life, which first funnels or gathers into Yesod, and Yesod channels that into Malchut. Question then is, what is Yesod? What is Yesod? All the other energies of life, all the other qualities, the spiritual qualities of life, the divine qualities, all gather into this one quality, and it then gets channeled, and we are able to receive it. So what is that quality? That quality is life. Life. How do you see life? Looking around and seeing life, energy, power, zest, abundance, blessing, fullness, wealth, and goodness. All that is connected to Yesod. When you put on the glasses of Yesod, you begin to see the quality of life and blessing and goodness and zest. I mean, have you ever met a person who is just so alive? And you see that. Now, how do you see that? Well, I see they move their hands. Well, no, I see the way they speak. I mean, how do you see that? You see it, right? Your physical eyes can only see physical movements. But your spiritual eye is able to see that this person embodies life force. They embody zest. They are full. Now, how do you explain that physically? You don't. You didn't see that with your physical eyes. But you saw that with the eyes of soul. Okay? Now, all the other qualities is what makes up life. What is life? Life is this synergy of all the other spiritual qualities, which is wisdom and understanding and kindness and love and beauty and truth, which are all the other qualities that we will work towards understanding each quality and how we see it in our lives and how we can embody it in our lives. But before we can embody any of them, they are all the colors, the ingredients of life. And when a person can see life and see that fullness and see that blessing and have that vessel to receive that blessing, they win the game of life, right? That's what we're trying to do. So what do we see when we have the lenses of Yesod? What do we see when we have the lens of foundation? What we see is a world filled with life, energy, blessing, wealth, abundance. That's what we see. When we see a world filled with life, aliveness, energy, we encounter reality. We encounter Hashem as El Chai, the living God. Remember, when we see the world through the glasses of Malchus, when we see organization and system and order, we encounter Hashem as Adonai, Master, King. Correct? But when we put on the lenses of Yesod, and we begin to see the world filled with life and zest and wealth and blessing and goodness, so then we see Hashem as El Chai, the living God, a God who's alive. Also, we saw God as Shaddai, another name of God, Shaddai, right? Which suggests a nurturing God, okay? A nurturing God. And so, when I see the world through the lens of Malchus, through the lens of community, kingdom, organization, I see Hashem as Adonai, master. I get a sense of a master, an authority, a supervisor. When I see reality through the eyes or through the lenses of Yesod, I see a world of life, zest, abundance, and I see a living God, a nurturing God. What is the goal of life in Judaism? The goal of life is to unify Yesod and Malchut. To unify these two lenses. To see community, kingdom, community, organization, and order unified and combined with seeing life, zest, dynamic, spontaneous, aliveness. And we put those two together. What are we basically putting together? Life, energy, plus structure, order. That's what we have to do in our lives. We're putting together living God, nurturing God with Master. And that is the goal of Judaism. That's what it's all about. It's like putting body with soul. Malchus is getting a sense of the body, the organism, the vehicle, the medium. Soul is the aliveness and the energy. It's like putting a computer together with electricity. Malchus is just a computer. When I look at the world in the eyes of kingdom, then all I see is an organization. But is this organization embodying life? Zest? Blessing? Goodness? No, it's just an organization. Right? So having kingdom, so to speak, being sensitive to the world as kingdom, but not seeing the spiritual quality of life and aliveness and zest, is like having a computer without electricity. Right? Life is the electricity, the energy, and you see that energy, you see that aliveness and that zest and blessing. But in order to receive that, and to channel that into the world, you need structure, you need order, you need community, you need kingdom. That's how Judaism understands it. What if I look at the world only in the eyes, only through the lens of Malchus, through kingdom? Then what does the world look like? A great machine. A grand mechanism. A cosmic computer. But there's no warmth. There's no love. It's rigid. It's mechanical. It's cold. It's lifeless. That's what happens if a person only sees the world with the lens of Malchus, with the lens of kingdom. If you only have the lens of Yesod, and you're really sensitive to life and energy, right? Spontaneity, dynamic, fluidity, then what do you end up with if you don't have structure and order? You end up with no productivity, no direction, no stability, no grounding, no creativity. You need to be able to put together, see in life, and act accordingly, and embody, through awareness and action, both a sensitivity to kingdom, organization, structure, order, Yesod, life, blessing, energy. When you put those two together, you really get synergy. You really get creativity. In fact, in Kabbalist terminology, Yesod is associated with male, and Malchus is associated with female. And that only together is there truly productivity in the world. Truly creativity in the world. Truly channeling energy and beauty in the world. And so, the goal is to come to know Hashem as Master, alive, nurturing. And some people have this really rigid image of this king, this master. Some people have this very fluid, dancing God. But Judaism sees reality, sees Hashem exhibiting these two qualities in oneness, which is the expression of creativity and productivity. You know, Nietzsche was a famous philosopher. He once said, in his criticism of Christianity, he said, if you Christians want to get me to believe in God, well then you better sing me better songs. because I can only believe in a God who dances. In other words, who's the God he was looking for? The God that you see through the lens of Yesod. He wants life and flowing, and he wants a dancing God, right? He doesn't want a king who gives order and structure, right? But obviously, his understanding of Christianity, and probably Christianity was that way for him anyways, is they presented him a view through only the lens of Malchus, only the lens of kingdom. God is a king. And that doesn't excite him. Where's the warmth and the aliveness and the zest? Where's all that? So he wanted a God that's dancing. Right? And so, and we do have in our Midrash images of God dancing. There's a Midrash that says in the future, all the righteous will be in a dancing circle and God will lead them in a dance to eternity. So we do have these images of, so to speak, a dancing God, reality, fluid and moving and beautiful and zestful and spontaneous and alive, and yet still within structure and order. You see, the basic goal, in simple words, is putting life in order and giving order to life. That's the unification of Yesod and Malchut. Putting together kingdom and foundation. There are a lot of people who are alive, but they have no order. They have no structure. They have no symmetry. They have no routine. And life dissipates. It has no medium to be received in and to flow through. And so when a person has aliveness and zest, but they don't have any structural order or symmetry or organization, when they're not part of community, well then they don't have, according to Judaism and Kabbalah, the vessel or the vehicle to channel this energy into everyday living. And that's the bottom line in Judaism. That's what it's all about. Putting life in order, giving order to life. And when you do that, you end up with productivity and creativity. If you don't do that, you have electricity without a wire, without cables. And electricity without cables goes nowhere, is ethereal, and it basically withdraws. It has nowhere to rest. It has nowhere to flow through. It has no medium, no vehicle. I either have a cable or a wire that has no electricity, is dead. Right? It's body and soul. That's what kingdom, and metaphorically, kingdom and Yesod is all about. And so, what happens when a person is able to put life in order? Have an order. Not just order in their own life, but see how their life fits into a greater order, a higher order, a kingdom. I'm a member of a kingdom. We're all members of this joint enterprise. This organization, if it doesn't have life and spirit, it's dead. There are lots of organizations that are organizations, and everybody's a member of the organization, but they are not in some way drawing the energy and channeling it in. Right? So you really need to have that sense of organization within your life, and your life within organization and kingdom. And then you're able to receive that life energy. And what do you then feel? You feel in order, and you feel connected. And that's what people want to feel. I feel my life's in order and I feel connected. And when I do not succeed in building order, abiding by order, having structure, symmetry, membership within kingdom, kingdom within my life, well then what do I end up with? I end up with chaos and no life energy. Because the energy flow just can't happen. It has no vehicle. It has no vessel to receive and channel it. Which is order and structure and symmetry and community and all that. Which is what's called Malchut. And so, that is the goal of Judaism. The goal of Judaism is to give me the opportunity to put kingdom in my life and put life into my kingdom. That's what it's all about. To feel in order, to feel alive, to be a vehicle and a channel for life force to flow through me and into the rest of the kingdom. And that's what's referred to as being a merkava, a vehicle. A vehicle. A live wire. This is what a tzaddik is all about. When Judaism talks about becoming a tzaddik, a righteous person, what's a tzaddik? Unfortunately, people have an image of a tzaddik as, you know, this holy person, is kind of weak, and, you know, they got these thick glasses. I remember when I was growing up, my parents had a picture of these rabbis studying Torah, right? There was a table with these books piled up, and these were old rabbis, bent over with these long white beards, right, in this room, and one has got his thumb up like this, and the other one's got his hands up like this, the other one's going like this, and, you know? And that was my picture of Judaism. That was my picture of the ideal Jew, and I didn't want to be that. Because if that's what it means to be Jewish, that you really want to be in some room with a bunch of books discussing certain minutiae and old and losing your eyesight and, you know, and bent over and all white and, you know, if that's what it is, I don't want to do that. Because I want to be alive. I want to feel the zest of life energy in me, around me, through me. That's what I want. I want that. I don't want that. But that was my image of a tzaddik. And I don't want to be a tzaddik. I don't want to be a holy, righteous man. You know? Because if that's what you look like, well then, you know, that's what I thought a tzaddik was. It's just the opposite. A tzaddik embodies Yesod and Malchut. They are able to gather in all those spiritual qualities and put it in order. Put it in structure. They have such an incredible understanding of kingdom and how they're part of kingdom and how we're all part of kingdom and organization and structure and symmetry. And that vessel, that vehicle is then able to draw and receive life force. And they're alive. A tzaddik embodies life and order. Structure, discipline, spontaneity, dynamism, creativity, productivity, that's a tzaddik. That is truly a tzaddik. Full of life, alive, tzaddikim are radiating. They embody life and they radiate life. And when you're around them, you feel you're next to a live wire, a conductor. Just this morning, I had the wonderful opportunity to meet Rabbi Levine. Rabbi Levine is the son of Rav Arya Levine, Rafael Levine. He's the son of Rav Arya Levine. Now we have the book about Rav Arya Levine that's called A Tzaddik in Our Times. A Holy Righteous Person in Our Times. You read this book, you get a sense of, wow, what a holy person is. What a Torah person's all about. What they aspire to. So I met his son who, I mean, Rav Arya Levine is long gone in terms of his physical presence in the world anyways. And his son is, you know, quite an old man. And when you shake this man's hand, right? And he doesn't know me. I came up to him and I said, hello. And he kept shaking my hand. And my hand just became totally subsumed within his hand. It was just so warm. It felt like a fur glove had enveloped me. And I felt such a charge just being in contact with this person. That's a tzaddik. Being in their aura, being in contact with this person, because this person embodies malchut, structure, discipline, organization. They see themselves within as a member of the community. They don't define themselves as independent of any greater organism. They are live wires that channel life energy into the world. And when you're around them, you feel it. You really feel it. So that's a tzaddik. But what happens when a person does not succeed in building kingdom consciousness? Seeing through the lens of malchus and living accordingly. Well, then what happens is life is out of order. Big sign, out of order. Right? Disconnected. And that's basically the point. Everybody wants to be in order and connected. But what does it mean to be connected? You meet some people, you feel they're so disconnected. You meet some people, boy, are they connected. And you want to be around people who are connected. Well, what does it mean to be connected? How did you see that with your eyes, your physical eyes? You saw connected, you see a cord plugged into something. But you feel this person is plugged in. What does it mean to be plugged in? How do you see this person is plugged in? Because some people are plugged in and some people are disconnected. The question is, how do you plug in? Right? And Judaism claims that that's its path. Its path is to plug in. It's to help us build discipline, order, symmetry, routine, a sense of membership, a sense of organization, a sense of community, which is the absolute critical vessel and vehicle to then receive life force, fullness, energy. And that together, that combination, is the secret of productivity and creativity. And that's what it's all about. What happens when I disconnect life from order? What happens when I disconnect energy from symmetry? What happens when I disconnect yisod from malchut? Then no life energy can flow. And this person's dead. And that person, who's that far away, which certainly nobody in this room is that, is referred to as a rasha. An evil person, according to our tradition, is already dead. Even while they look alive. They're really dead. Because they're not plugged in. They're totally disconnected. They're totally dismembered. This franchise, they are not part of the community because they have excluded themselves from community. That's why they've made themselves so bad. This is what happens. When soul is out of the body disintegrates. That's death. A rasha, an evil person, the opposite of a tzaddik, is a person who denies any higher order. I don't have to follow any higher order. I don't need to fit into any higher organization. I don't need to have any discipline. They violate community. They undermine symmetry. And they're selfish. They're selfish. Because they think in and of themselves, they're something. But that's not true when you understand kingdom. When you understand malchus, you realize that in and of myself, I'm nothing. Only as a member of this orchestra am I really something. But I'm not a soloist. It's like a tuba player thinking, I'm going to be a soloist. Well, I don't know how many great tuba players became soloists. But generally tuba players are part of a band. Part of an orchestra. We're all part of an orchestra. That's malchus consciousness. The more I understand that I'm a member of a greater order, and I live in accordance to that, and I maintain that, and I nurture that, and I build that, then I can become part of that vehicle, that live wire, to channel and receive life energy. A rasha doesn't do that. A rasha is under the impression that in and of himself or herself, I'm something, I'm self-defined, self-sufficient, independent, and there's no such thing in this world. There's no such thing as an isolated, independent, self-defined entity. We're all interdefined, we're all interconnected, we're all part of the organism, we're all part of the mechanism, we're all part of the organization. And when we know that, we live with that, we embody that, then we're able to receive and channel that life energy. That's how Judaism describes it. Now, it's important to understand, there's a great Kabbalist by the name of Jicatelia. He was an Italian Jew. His name is Jicatelia. He wrote a very important book called Share Ora, The Gates of Light. How does one open the gates of light? And he explains over there that nothing bad comes down from heaven. If something bad is happening in your life, it doesn't come from heaven. It comes from an absence of good in your life. The important thing here is understand that evil is the absence of good. Darkness is the absence of light. Chaos is the absence of order. And then death is the absence of life. There's no such thing as what they call in Kashrus Parva. Right? Not milk, not meat, somewhere in the middle. You know? If I'm not growing according to Judaism, I'm falling. I don't tread water. That's how Judaism sees it. Right? If I'm not alive, I'm dying. I'm not just in the middle. Right? And so what Rabbi Jicatelli was teaching us is unless I open my vessel and receive life force and channel it, well then, the absence of life is death. And so, if something bad is happening, and I'm wondering, what I have to do is I've got to figure out how to build my vessel, how to get connected into malchut awareness and be receptive to life energy pouring in. And so, one of the most powerful ways to change a person's life is tzedakah. Tzedakah, which has been unfortunately translated as charity. It's not charity. I'll explain to you soon. But the Talmud tells us, tzedakah tatzil mimavit. Tzedakah saves from death. Saves from death. It has such a power to build my vessel, to open up, to receive that life force, that charity has that power. But it's not charity, it's tzedakah. Now what is charity generally understood as? Something I don't have to do. Something nice, but for no necessary reason. I don't have to share my wealth with a stranger, but I will. I don't owe you anything. I don't owe the community anything. But I'm just being nice. That's certainly not tzedakah. Maybe that's not what people understand charity to be either. Well, that would be good. But sometimes people think that that's what it means when you give money to somebody. Or you give help to somebody. Look, I don't need to do this. I don't owe you anything. But I'll do it. I'm being nice. In Judaism, tzedakah is an obligation. It's not just being nice. It's an obligation. When a person has this attitude that, okay, I gave, but I didn't have to give. I didn't owe you anything. And essentially, especially you're basically a stranger, help some strangers, some poor children I never met, got nothing to do with me. I don't have to do that. But I did it. That divorces Yesod from Malchut. That basically divorces your wealth from its connection to kingdom. Because you obviously don't understand that you're part of a kingdom. Because if you understood you were part of a kingdom, if you had kingdom consciousness, if you saw the world through the lenses of kingdom, then you'd understand that there's no such thing as a stranger. Every single human being in this world is part of this joint enterprise. We're all members of this community. We're all members of this kingdom. And therefore, if you are in trouble, I'm in trouble. Because we're all connected. We're all interdependent. We're all interdefined. And so, of course I'm going to give. And you know, tzedakah is a very interesting word. Tzedakah, which means translated as charity, really comes from the word tzedek. And tzedek means justice. Justice. In other words, when I give tzedakah, what I'm essentially doing is justifying my wealth. Because the only reason I have it is so that I can channel it in the right places and invest it into kingdom. To build kingdom. And that's the only way I can justify it. That's the only way the flow is going to keep happening. If I get selfish, I could stop the flow. I met a fellow who's a phenomenal philanthropic man. And he told me that when he started giving, his business started doing better. And he said, and I tell you, I know for a fact that the income of wealth had to do with the outcome of my charitable giving. I could see it. It was amazing. Right? It was amazing. So when he sold his business, right? Or he didn't sell, he sold a major portion of his business. He put in the contract that the business has to give 10% of its earnings to charitable causes. And the guys who went into the deal said, are you crazy? Nobody does that. I mean, how can you expect us to put that in a contract? I'm buying a business and that's it. Right? And what I do with my money is my business. He said, oh no, I'm sorry. I won't sell you the business. Because you'll destroy it. Right? Because I know that the inflow of income is related to this charitable giving that I'm doing with my company. It's an amazing idea. But whether it's an idea or not, this is what Judaism claims. Judaism claims that when a person is selfish, Or when they give but feeling, I gave because it was a nice thing to do, but I really didn't have to, and it's really my money, and this person's a stranger, but then they're really destroying Malchus, they're destroying kingdom, they're pulling themselves out of kingdom, they're pulling themselves out of community, they're pulling themselves out of the organism, they're pulling themselves out of the symmetry. And they're under some illusion that in and of themselves, they're self-defined, self-sufficient, this is my money, I'm the source of all this wealth. And it's not true. And what they essentially do is really start cutting their connection. See, in Judaism, a wealthy person is not a person who has a lot. It's a person who gives a lot. And that's a person who's truly wealthy. Why are they truly wealthy? Because they know where it all comes from. So they're not afraid to give. They're not afraid to be that channel. They're only so delighted that they can be that vehicle for this wealth to go into the world and help others. I heard an incredible thing about a man who was a great philanthropic fellow. He was at a dinner that was honoring him, and he said something which is, I think, incredibly inspirational. He said, you know, very often when bad things happen to people, they say and they ask, why me? Why me? Well, my whole life, such goodness happened to me. Such wealth happened to me. Such good fortune happened to me. And I asked myself, why me? And so a person shouldn't simply ask why me when things don't go so great. But when things are going great, and you're blessed with wealth, talent, energy, then ask, why me? How can I share it with the community? How can I channel it into the kingdom? How can I do that? That is tzedakah. When a person performs the act of tzedakah, what they're essentially aware of is, I'm a partner in this world. We are members together. Nobody's really a stranger. We have an interdependence. We are responsible for each other. Together as a kingdom, and only together as a kingdom, can we be receptive to life energy and all the wealth and the abundance and the blessing. And so, that's why tzedakah saves from death. Because it's a powerful whammy, so to speak, antidote to not being plugged in. To give of whatever wealth you've been blessed, pass some of it on. Some of it's for you. But to justify that aspect that's mine is by showing how much yours is in mine. How much yours is in mine. And so, tzedakah is not just simply doing a nice thing, it's really investment. It's really investment. And you know what investment is? I looked it up in Webster Dictionary. Investment means to put into a vessel. The word vest, to engarb. To take this wealth and put it into a medium. Invest it into the vessel. And then it becomes productive. Then it becomes creative. Then it becomes blessed with life force. But life and money sometimes are pretty similar. And you can either save your money, hold on to your money, spend your money, squander your money, or invest your money. And when you invest your money, right, you know it's going to increase. It's going to be more productive. Well, so too with life. When you have life force, the more you invest life force, the more you're able to receive life force. And the reason why you're going to invest life force is because you've got the lenses of Malchus. Because you have a clear understanding that I'm a member of a kingdom, and this kingdom is part of me. We're a joint enterprise. Together we're a vessel to receive this incredible light and blessing. And therefore, whatever blessing I have, I share. And that only makes it more. And that's the quality of spirituality. The more you share spirituality, the more you actually have. But when it comes to physical things, sometimes people feel, well, what I eat, you don't eat. And what you eat, I don't eat. And what money I give you, I won't have. And what money you have is not mine. That's what happens when a person only sees the world with the physical eyes. But when a person plugs in and sees the world with their soul, with the lenses of the Sefirot, with the lens of Malchus, together with the lens of Yisod, they become connected, dynamic, disciplined, ordered. And so, in general, not only tzedakah, which is considered to be a powerful connector, right? Tzedakah tatzil mimavis. Charity, tzedakah, saves from death. Judaism's claim is that Torah and mitzvot do that all the time. That when a person adopts the choreography, so to speak, of Jewish living, what they're essentially doing is putting life in order. I have a spiritual routine. I have a physical routine. I have a spiritual routine. That spiritual routine is plugged into a communal spiritual routine, a historical spiritual routine. I feel connected to history, to the world, to my people. That's what Judaism is all about. And it's about unifying Yesod and Malchut. That's why the Torah is referred to as an Eitz Chaim, a tree of life. In other words, if we were to try and describe it better, what is Torah really offering? Whether you buy, so to speak, whether you believe, it's your choice, of course. But what Torah is claiming and offering is a life management program, a life investment program. It's putting life into order. It's giving order into life. It's becoming a vehicle, a vessel. In biblical terminology, it's being a servant of God. Just like a wire serves electricity to channel, to bring through. So too, that's what Torah mitzvahs are all about. That's why, as we mentioned once before, Torah in many ways is very physical. There's all these physical acts that I do. It's not just, there is some meditation, but most of it is focusing on embodying the spiritual qualities, the divine qualities, bringing them in the world and receiving them. And so, this is how it's expressed in the Bible. Okay? The Bible starts off with the story of creation. And now that we understand some of these principles, I think we'll be able to understand the first verse in the Bible. It goes like this. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Heaven, the spiritual, celestial realm. Earth, the physical realm. But it was heaven and earth, separate. And because of that, va'aretz haita tohu vohu, and the earth was in a state of chaos, without form. Right? Without form. Since there wasn't this unification between spirit and physical, between the organism and the life force, well then, the organism disintegrates and is in a state of tohu vohu, chaos without form. V'choshek al pnei tahom, and there is darkness on the face of the tahom. Now the tahom is very interesting because first of all the word tahom is the same word as tohu. Tohu is chaos. Now right after that word tohu, you have the word tahom. The only difference is the additional mem, so to speak, the M at the end of the word. So already it's suggesting something about a pit, an emptiness. So there's darkness over emptiness. Why is there emptiness? Because life force, the spiritual realm, is not in unity with the physical organism, not connected. The physical is in a state of chaos, disintegration. The divine is hovering above the water. What's the spirit of the divine hovering above the water? What does that mean? Well, what is the water? What is water? Pure water? Once again, it's formless, right? Water has no form. Water takes the form of whatever vessel you put it in, right? So once again, you've got this water that wasn't mentioned before, but everything's in a state of fluidity. Nothing's in a state of form or structure or order. And therefore, the Spirit of God is hovering over it, unsettled. That's what it means to be mirachef. When they talk about a person who is mirachef, it means a person who's very unsettled and they're kind of all over the place. They're not at rest. They haven't come down. They haven't landed. Because there's no place to land. Because there's no organization. There's no unity. There's no synergy. And that was what God created. Right? An original, chaotic, disenfranchised world. Then the rest of the story is God putting it in order. Right? And then God said, let there be light. And then God said, let's move the waters. And then God said, and then all of it, the rest of the story of creation, is God putting order. And the more the world gets into order, the more it begins to receive more and more life force. Until the final act. What is the final act? The creation of the human being. And who is the creation, who is the human being created in the image of? God. Right? The ultimate allness, so to speak. And what does it say over there in the verse? God says, let us create man in our image. Who is God speaking to? All the disenfranchised pieces of reality, not reality, of existence, of the world, the spiritual and the physical, and man is going to be that medium that's going to embody all the elements, physical elements, and the unification of the spiritual and the physical. And therefore, the human being is referred to once again as Yesod, foundation, how so? Like a keystone. Do you know what a keystone is? You probably know what a keystone cop is, right? But a keystone, exactly, if you look at the structure, like for instance over here, if you look next door in the dining hall, you'll see that you have this arch and each brick is building up to it. But what's holding this arch together? It's the one in the middle, which is called the keystone, right? If you pull that middle one out, the whole thing falls out. So as they're building it, they first build like a wooden arch and they start piling these bricks, you know, aligning these bricks. But it's that final brick in the center that might be look like just one brick amongst all the other bricks, but it's the one that actually holds it all together, brings it all together. Now Judaism says that that's what the human being has the ability to do, that through our behavior and through our attitudes, we are the keystone of creation. And that if we pull ourselves out, or if we're not together, or if we're not doing it, if we're not embodying and bringing together those diverse elements and unifying the spiritual and the physical life force organization, Malchus Yesod, then all falls apart. So Adam is created. And Adam is not a man. Adam is a man and a woman. A unification. Once again, this suggesting the Yesod and the Malchut connection. And then what happens after Adam is created? This image of allness, of totalness, of organization in life. What then happens? Shabbos comes in. And it says, V'yachul ha-shamayim v'aretz v'kol tzva'am. And it says, and God and the heavens and the earth were finished. But remember yesterday I told you, V'yachulu comes from the word kol, which means all. So it doesn't simply mean they were finished. It means they became integrated. Vayichulu means they became whole. Once Adam came into the world, the next step is everything fell into place. Everything connected. Everything was unified. We started the story with, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Right? But now, after everything's put together, the keystone is put in place, the spiritual and the physical is unified. Right? Vayichulu shamay v'aretz v'kol tzva'am. Everything came together. Vayechaloim b'yom ha'shvi'i, and God completed His work. V'yishbot, and He rested. Where did he rest? In the world. Because now this world of unity, of synergy, can now be a vehicle and a vessel to receive life force, divine energy. That's the secret behind this story, and that's the beginning of the theme of the entire Torah, which is how do I live my life really being in the image of God? What is the image of God? Right? What does it mean to live in the image of God? It means to live with a sense of wholeness, connectedness, structure, order, filled with life and energy and blessing and fullness and abundance. It's a tree of life for all who hold on to it and support it. And so, that's what Shabbat is really all about. Before we had the Spirit of God, so to speak, mirachefet, unsettled, over the fluidity and the instability and the formlessness and the chaos. But by the end of the story, Vayishpot, the Spirit of God rests. Vayanach b'yom ha-shvi'i, and God rested and came in. There's spirit that enters into the world. And you can see people who have spirit, and you can have people who don't have spirit. But how do you get spirit? What does it mean to live with spirit? Well, this is what Judaism is claiming. Now, it's important to know that all this is connected to peace. Because the Talmud says that to hold it all together, a person has to have peace. And peace is associated with the attribute called Yesod. If you don't have peace, you don't have anything. Inner peace, communal peace, that peace, that bringing it together is essential to receive all these blessings. That's why when we pray our 18 benedictions, we pray for so many things, so many blessings. Each one, 18 blessings. Each one is a blessing I want to draw into the world. But the last request, which is absolutely the foundation for all these requests to happen, is peace. Because without peace, you don't have the vessel, the channel, to receive it all. And this is all Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Well, what is the peacefulness in Shabbat? Mekor HaBrachot. Why is it a source of blessing? The Talmud says that Shabbat, when a person celebrates Shabbat, if they keep it appropriately, according to its rules, that's what it exactly says, then it's as if they fulfill the entire Torah. So what is it about Shabbat that seems to be a model, a microcosm of the entire Jewish experience? Well, what happens on Shabbat? What am I really saying? What am I really embodying through my actions and my awarenesses that I'm doing on Shabbat and I'm thinking on Shabbat? You see, on Shabbat, I realize that I'm not the master. I'm not the master. I'm part of the kingdom. And on Shabbat, I let go and I receive. I let go of control. And I basically testify through this that I'm not the master, but I'm part of the kingdom. Receiving the orders and receiving the energy and the inspiration from the king. I'm not the energy. I'm the cable. If I work on Shabbat, it means I've confused myself to think it's my life, it's my energy, it's my world, and I'm the king. But Shabbat is all about embodying the consciousness that it's not my world. I'm not the source of creativity. I'm not the source of life. I'm not the source of energy. I humbly receive it as a gift. And I merit receiving that by virtue of being in order and yearning for it. And that is hard for people to realize. It's not my life. I didn't create life. It didn't start with me. It won't end with me. Where is life? Who is life? Where does life come from? Life is a spiritual quality. It is one of the qualities of the divine. And on Shabbat, when I realize it's not my life, then I realize all week long, I've been running on borrowed gas. Basically, it's not my gas. I didn't create gas. And so on Shabbat, I basically say, fill her up. I say, I need a time to refuel. But you can't get refueled if you think you're the source of fuel. But I'm the car. I'm not the fuel. But where's the fuel? Where's the ever-ready, eternal battery, so to speak? So Shabbat is a time to refuel. And in order to open my vessels up to refuel, open up my tank, it's like, I gotta know, I'm not the source of life. So how do I connect to the source of life? The first thing is to recognize that there's a source of life. And I want to be connected to that source. And I want to be a vehicle and a vessel for that life energy come into this world. And so, why is it, last but not least, why is it that Yesod is called foundation? What has it got to do with foundation? If you look at the diagram, foundations are usually underneath everything. But here you have something very interesting. You have the foundation, which is, so to speak, underneath, right? In supporting and gathering together all this energy. But then again, you have Malchus underneath it. And so foundation is not a support from beneath you. It's a support beyond you. It's like a magnetic force that pulls you up. And that's the stabilizing force. So essentially, what Yesod is doing is when I have a sense of the quality of life, then life is that quality that's really gathering in all the other qualities, all the other divine colors, so to speak. And it's the foundation to me and my world. How so? How does it support me? By being a magnetic force that draws me up, pulls me up. Because life is yearning. When is a person alive? When they're always yearning for more, then they're really alive. They never say, that's it, I'm alive. I'm always alive. I'm always ready for more adventure and more excitement and more growth and more creativity and more productivity and more tzedakah and more. I'm alive because I'm in a constant state of yearning to receive the abundance that's coming down. And so, to summarize, there are 10 lenses through which we see and view reality. And the way we see and view reality is the way we create the world we live in. And sometimes we have lenses that are very dirty. And when I look at the world with very dirty, superficial, plastic lenses, then I live in a very dirty, superficial, plastic world. And what you see is what you get. But then there's other lenses which Judaism is trying to train us to embody through its teachings and through its disciplines and through its spiritual routines and disciplines. And those lenses enables me to see reality through these lenses. And it determines the kind of world I live in and the kind of experience I'm going to have. The first lens, which is a prerequisite in order to even get to the next lenses, is Malchut. It's having the ability to see the symmetry, the order, the organization, the community, the collective. I'm a member. I'm not an independent, self-defined, self-sufficient. We're all together, interdefined, interconnected. And we're all responsible for each other. When I have that attitude, And when I see that, well, then I'm ready to receive life force, energy, abundance, wealth. That's yourself. And I see reality through the eyes of a combination lens of Malchus and Yesod. I unify life and order. And I experience synergy, productivity, creativity. I feel in order. I feel connected. I experience embodying spirit. I become a tzaddik. So I embody and I radiate that spirit and that life. However, if I do not, if I break my Malchus lenses, can't see anything, life energy withdraws, I put a big sign on my life, out of order, disconnected, and I can't embody, it doesn't come through. Judaism claims that its teachings enables a person to build and embody the quality of Malchus and to be receptive, become a cable, a wire, a vessel, a vehicle, a channel for life force and blessing. And that essentially, Shabbat, in many ways, in a very direct way, reminds us of that. What does it mean to remember? It means to become a member again. What makes people forget? They lose associations. How do you remember something? Things are associated. Things are connected. And because of that, that's connected. This is connected. So I remember it. Right? Remember means to make it into a member again. It become disconnected. I remember. Remember the Shabbat. How do you embody remembrance? Right? It's by reconnecting. It's by seeing myself as part of a community. Seeing myself as part of a universe. Seeing myself as part of the organization. The joint enterprise. And being receptive for that quality of life, which is the yearning. And it's that yearning that pulls me up and animates and enlivens and inspirits the mechanism. And I end up with a unification of an understanding. And I see Adonai, Master, in my life. I see El Chai, I see a living, alive God. And I see a nurturing God. In the morning I wake up, I say, Moda ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. You're a king, and yet you're alive. And I wake up unifying immediately, recognizing that there's a king and I'm a kingdom, and that king is alive. Melech Chai, that king is life.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990, or in Jerusalem at country code 972-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.